This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's one of our most listened to guests on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. He's a leader at RSM and a brilliant person. Matt, tell us what's going on in the private equity world. You know, there's all this discussion about, are rate cuts coming? Are they not coming? Literally, within hours, you get different messages. I want to say Greenspan, but Powell reaffirming that rate cuts are coming. Two other Fed governors saying not so fast. What is going on, and how do the macroeconomics, the jobless claims, the jobs, and everything else play into all this? What do you see out there? What do the tea leaves say?
Yeah, happy to be on, Scott. Thanks. It's a fascinating conversation and discussion, and I had this with a colleague and some clients earlier this week, right? And they're saying, oh, well, now the, you know, if you look at Bloomberg, you see the rate cut probability is down to 58% for June. And people are like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? And it's interesting because that sort of almost coin flip knowledge about are we going to cut rates or are we not, that used to be the norm, not a few years ago, but in prior regimes, right? Prior to the global financial crisis, that was sort of typical, right? Where we didn't have this sort of pure visibility into the macroeconomic play. And I know it's very frustrating for market participants, especially as we want access to cheaper debt as we try to refinance, do deals, things like that. But I want to make a case that, you know, despite the fact we have, as we're recording this today, right, we have seven different Fed governors talking today. Some have already talked. We get the jobs report tomorrow. We've had jobless claims. We've had all this data that will influence the monetary policy decisions that are just less important now than they were in the sort of 13 to 14 years after the global financial crisis, right? As we emerged from the global financial crisis, we had this, we had to undertake this massive deleveraging of corporate and household balance sheets, right? And that was supported by monetary policy. And it created this environment in which Fed moves this way or that way, whether it was the reference rate or if it was even the rate at which they expanded or contracted their balance sheet, created these sort of binary economic outcomes for investors, for companies, for most everybody, right? And monetary policy was very important then. Now we are moving into this environment where fiscal policy, inflation is becoming more important because we've effectively delevered from, it took a while, right, to recover from the global financial crisis and delever effectively the corporate and household balance sheets, but we're effectively there. Now we're entering this regime where monetary policy is less important for economic outcomes than it was. That's why we have this noise around, are they going to raise, are they not going to raise, or raise lower, stay or cut. And we're now in this environment where different industries will experience recessions or expansions at different times. We're kind of at an end or coming near to an end of this sort of monetary policy driven binary outcome economy, right? I mean, like, just look at manufacturing. It's been in and out of recession for the past 2 years, right? People keep talking about commercial real estate. All of these industries are now becoming less connected as we move on from this sort of binary outcome economy. So that's a message we're trying to share, right? And I think it's an important one now to your initial question, now that I've kind of ranted a little bit and provided some of that context. I think, you know, we're still on the train of the call of three rate cuts this year, but we expect the rate cutting cycle to last perhaps into 2026, 2026, right? So it could take a while, but again, we're not going to go back to zero interest rates. That period between the global financial crisis and March of 2022 was an aberration. We're now into a regime where interest rates will kind of normalize, sort of think late 90s type, right? And monetary policy will become less important, and various industries will experience recessions and expansions at different times.
Yes. What's fascinating is, and this is also, there's a disconnect with monetary policy, because monetary policy for a long time was everything. And it's certainly, you know, people talked about Greenspan and how much he goosed up monetary policy to lead the highest stock valuations, and then took the, you know, talked about taking the punch bowl away. And now you've got the situation where the U.S. has so much debt, which is a different part of this discussion, that we don't control monetary policy and what it actually does to our treasuries as much as we did, because as we have too much debt, those long-term treasury prices, we have to pay higher yields to get people to still buy U.S. treasuries almost regardless, which is itself a frightening thing in terms of one of the challenges we have of lots of debt. And I know that's another discussion. People don't want to hear about it all the time, but we're starting to give up some control about how we price our long-term treasuries just because we're holding so many of them that we have to sell. And that's a scary thought, actually, but plays into this discussion as well about monetary policy. Monetary policy was the be all and end all, but at some point, if we're not careful, we lose our ability to control some of that through monetary policy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and that's, we've seen a lot of, financial press coverage around the treasury auctions, right? Is there going to be sustained demand for the supply that the treasury needs to put out on the market? And so far, you know, we haven't hit a point where we haven't found plenty of willing buyers, which is good. You know, it's definitely something to watch and monitor, right? That's one positive note. And then on the other hand too, luckily we're sitting in a good spot where none of our debt is denominated in foreign currencies, right? So we don't have like a foreign currency reserve problem like some other developed nations do, or developing nations, which is a benefit. Doesn't mean couldn't potentially have a problem, but at least we're a little more insulated than some other economies that are getting a lot of press, right, for their problems with foreign currency reserves and their interest rates, like, you know, Turkey, China, and some others.
I mean, 100%, 100%. I mean, fascinating to see what's going on in some of those other nations and how scary the precipice is that they could fall off and the challenges they're having. And what we're trying to avoid, putting ourselves in that situation here, like we're trying to avoid. Reagan put Russia in financial trouble during the Reagan era. We're trying to avoid that self-inflicted wound, doing that to ourselves here. In any event, Matt, I don't mean to get politics out there and so forth, but debt is an issue. It should be an issue regardless of politics. As always, thank you so much for joining us, Matt. It's always great to visit with you. I always learn something. Matt Wolf, RSM, brilliant. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.